I guess the comment that I get more than anything else is, so Duncan's not lonely anymore, which is, he did stand here for a long time all by himself. But
yes, he did.
At the back, the sails are to represent the ridges of Gallipoli.
Yes.
So the first is Zari Banu. The second, the big one, the 8-metre one at the end, represents a landmark that the soldiers recognised as the Sphinx, because it's from a certain angle that actually looked like the face of the Sphinx.
Oh, right.
And then behind that, the third and fourth ridges, which is as far as we got to. In his footprints, the sands of Gallipoli, at his feet, the pebbles of Gallipoli, and in that container over there is soil from the cliffs of Gallipoli that was given to us by the Turkish ambassador when we were in Canberra in February. As you walk throughout the memorial itself, the speaker boxes talk to you. That one there tells the story of the landing, with Duncan being first ashore and the first shot rang out, and so began the Gallipoli campaign. And then again, this over here that is the soil from the cliffs of Gallipoli that we got as a gift. And then if you walk in through this way, on the back of all of these panels are the stories of Gallipoli. A lot of the stories are taken from a book called Letters from the Front. It was a bit of a thing back then when you got a letter from your son or your husband and it came back home, you would take it down to the Chronicle and get it printed.
Uh-huh.
So a few years ago now, Gene Hunter, most of those letters, and printed them in a book called Letters from the Front, and that's where we've sourced all of these local stories from. But everything's QR coded right throughout the site as well, so if you're vision impaired or can't read or get tired of reading, and there's an awful lot of reading to do, go to the QR code, it will talk to you. And then from then, it also blows out the story. Like each of these stories here is 200-300 words. You can go and get 5 or 6 pages of the other story of April 25, 1915. Right throughout the site, the pavers have got QR codes on them. So it tells the story of the lone pine, how it was that little lone pine there, how it came back to Australia. There's even some surprises in here for me. When I got here with 2 days to go, I had no idea that John Myers from the Maryborough Colonial Military Museum had donated that and asked for it to be put in the memorial.
Shrapnel.
The shrapnel there.
Wow.
And stones. And this one over here is shrapnel embedded in a stone from Anzac Cove.
Now, how long is the walk?
As long as you want it to be. If you read every panel, you'd be here for days.
Yep.
We've sort of designed it so that there's sort of 3 levels. If you want to have a wander through and get a quick overview of what happened at Gallipoli and on the Western Front, you can do that.
Yep.
If you want to go a little bit deeper, you can do that. If you're going to do a doctorate on the First World War, you could just about do it here, I think, if you use the QR codes. So it's designed for people who want to walk through. It's designed for students, and we're hoping to get a lot of educational tourism in the next few years from this, so that students can come along with their QR codes and they can learn more and more and more about each of the battles, the periscope rifles, the Turkish offensive of May, the August offensive that we went on with the Maoris, which you can hear singing in the background there.
The hymn ceased. There was a silence that could be felt, and then Maori and Pākehā heads were bowed.
So tell us how the whole thing started.
It started 4 years ago. I get a phone call from Nancy Bates, who said we should build a statue to Duncan Chapman.
Yep.
And because I'd already honoured Duncan Chapman in the Walk of Achievers down in Wharf Street, I tell this story jokingly. There was a couple of letters that came home from the soldiers that, to the Australian young men, this was a huge adventure. This was an adventure to go on. And they were sure that it was going to be over by Christmas of that first year. And of course it went to 4 years, as we now know. But when I signed up with Nancy, I sort of thought, yeah, it'll be over by Christmas. And here we are 4 years later, yes. And we finally got it in the ground. But it's grown a lot. I mean, it started as just a statue to Duncan Chapman. And then the council told us that they were looking to make an entrance statement into Queen's Park. And we said, oh, well, why don't we use Duncan as that, so on and so forth. And then so we got the beach, and then we thought, oh, well, we can do this and we can do that. And then we blew it out to the Western Front where Duncan was killed. And that's how it started, and it finished last Saturday.
So you had Malcolm Turnbull up here.
We did.
And you also had Anastasia Palaszczuk.
We did. We also had Dr. Brendan Nelson from the Australian War Memorial. We had representatives from the Turkish Embassy, the Belgian Embassy, the New Zealand Embassy, the British High Commission. And have I forgotten anyone? The New Zealanders? No. Just all levels of government, but to get all 3 levels, so local government, state government, and federal government on board. And Saturday was just a perfect day. Everyone was in harmony, and Brendan Nelson described it. His comment was, if you can't make it to my memorial in Canberra, then you should make sure that you make it to Miriborough, which is just a feather in our hat, you know.
So are they looking at investing money into tourism to Miriborough because of this?
Yes, of course. If you have a look at the number of people that have been on the site since we've been here this morning, which is just unheard of, and through the weekend, a lot of RVers coming in, and the people that we were just talking to before saw it and drove down from Childers, but they're coming back because they didn't have enough time to go through the whole thing this morning. But just lovely stories of the people of Miriborough.
All right, we'll wrap it up. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, my friend.